welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark LeVanier, with you for an hour of radio westerns. Later on, a more contemporary story on Tales of the Texas Rangers, but right now it's Gunsmoke, going back to 1870s Kansas. In the CBS broadcast from October 10th, 1953, William Conrad stars in How to Die for Nothing.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on west, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke.
Gunsmoke, the story of the violence that moved west with young America. The story of a man who moved with it. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Hand me that bottle, Zach. Been a long, dusty trail up from Texas. I don't care to ride into Dodge sober.
Stay on that. Now, don't kill it. I come up the same trail you did. I'm just as dry.
I hope I never see another Mosshorn steer. Now, I'm going to settle down and be a bartender or something easy like that.
Tomorrow you'll wish you was back trailing cattle. You wish you never seen Dodge. Hey, come on, my turn on that bottle.
So by tomorrow, maybe there won't be no Dodge. Maybe we'll have torn it plumb apart.
Oh! Yeah. Hey, hear the cougar howl tonight.
Yeah.
Hey, then look yonder.
What?
That there's Alafraganza. Let's start with it.
Tell him we're here, Zach. Show them how we live in Texas.
All right, hold it there.
Put a bullet through his hat, Jack. Shoot his heels away.
Get down off those horses.
Why, sure, I'll get down, mister. That's what I come here for. All the way from Texas.
You're welcome here. But don't get any notions about shooting up this town.
Who are you, anyway?
I'm a U.S. Marshal, and I'll take your gun till you're sober enough to carry it again.
Nobody takes my gun.
All right, then ride back to camp.
Don't let him buffalo you, Zach.
He won't. Mister, I'm staying. Me and my gun. And there'll be a marshal for breakfast if you try to stop me.
All right, I won't.
I'm going to kill you for doing that.
That was awful close, Mr. Dillon. I saw the whole thing.
Yeah, another drunken cowboy with more fire than sense.
Well, you had to kill him.
Yeah. Take his gun, Chester.
Yes, sir. Give me that.
Don't shoot me.
No, nobody ain't going to shoot you, mister.
Get on your feet.
Yeah, come on, get it.
Oh. Busted my head.
You'll be all right. But your friend tried to shoot me. He's dead.
You killed him.
To keep him from killing me.
There'd be trouble about this, Marshal.
No. Don't you get anything like that started.
Oh, not me. His brother, Howard Bulow. He's out the camp. I know him, Marshal. He'd come after you.
All right, I'll be here.
It won't be like that. Howard wouldn't face no gunfighter. He'd shoot you in the back or from alley at night. I know him, Marshal. It'll happen.
You want to bury your friend here or take him back to camp?
I'll take him back to camp.
All right, we'll help you tie him across his horse. We can use his rope, Chester.
Yes, sir.
More coffee here, Matt?
No, thanks, Kitty.
Can't say I blame you. You'd think a restaurant like Delmonico's could at least make good coffee.
I never saw a woman yet who didn't find fault with everybody's cooking but her own.
Women have more taste than men.
Sure. More arguments, too.
Matt.
Yeah?
That man you had to shoot today, his brother, is that what's on your mind?
Yeah, I suppose.
I've been thinking. You never seen him. If he does ride into town, you won't be able to recognize him, will you?
Well, let's say he'll probably be the first man who tries to shoot me in the back.
Oh, Matt.
No, don't worry about it. It's been tried before. I'm still around.
Come on. Let's get out of here.
Okay. Sure.
Front Street's not very crowded tonight.
It's early. Now, wait a minute.
What is it?
That man leaning up against the post up there. Wait till he turns his head. I want to get a look at him.
Someone you're after, Matt?
Yeah, there. Yeah. No, it's someone who's after me. Bulow's brother.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure. Sure enough to ask him anyway. You stay here.
All right.
You looking for me, Bulow? What? Your name is Bulow, isn't it?
Oh. I'll bet you're him. I'll bet you're the marshal.
I am. I'll take your gun now.
Well, take it.
All right.
That won't stop me.
You'll get another gun and shoot me in the back, is that it?
Any way I can, Marshal.
Look, Bulow, your brother tried to kill me, and he'd have done it if I hadn't stopped him.
Ain't nobody kills a Bulow and gets by with it. I don't care what he done.
Well, maybe you need a few days to think it over. Maybe that'll help.
I ain't got a few days.
You have now. Turn around and walk straight ahead of me, Bulow. You're going to jail for a while.
No, I ain't done nothing.
Turn around and get moving.
Marshal?
What can I do for you?
My name's Will Jacklin. I'm boss of the Drag R herd. We're holding up river. I come for Howard Bulow.
Uh-huh. I see.
Well, turn him loose.
No, I can't turn him loose.
He didn't do a thing last night. He was just standing on the street the way I heard it.
He threatened to shoot me in the back, and he says he's still going to do it.
You killed his brother, didn't you?
In self-defense.
Don't matter. You'll have to look out for yourself. But none of my men's going to lay in a Kansas jail when he ain't done nothing.
None of your men's going to walk free waiting to put a bullet in my back, either.
I got 8 men outside, Marshal. I got 10 more with the cattle. We come a long way. We had a hard drive. We're all Texans, and no Dodge City Marshal's going to rub our nose in dirt.
Nobody's trying to, Jacqueline.
Fine thing, they hire men like you to kill cowboys on a little spree.
You call shooting me a little spree?
You could have crippled him up.
I wish that were true, but I couldn't take the chance. Another shot and he'd kill me.
Talking's a waste of time. I want Bulow out of here.
I'll do this. I'll turn him over to you when you've sold your herd and are headed back to Texas, if you promise to keep him with you.
I want him now.
No, not as long as he's set on killing me.
18 men I got, Marshal. Not counting myself. 14 of us will be back tonight, and we'll get him.
Jacqueline, don't try it.
And after we get him, we'll really shoot your town up. You people have mistreated the last Texas cowboy you're going to. Tonight, Marshal.
Sure you won't have a beer, Mac? I'll even buy you one. Do you good?
I can't be drinking now, Doc.
Oh, Matt, I don't think they'll ride in like that tonight. Those cowboys always talk big.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe they're just full of vinegar after the long drive they've had, huh? Now they want to hoop and holler something.
Bulow's full of more than vinegar, Doc.
You think so? A tooth for a tooth, huh? An eye for an eye. Oh, my, the world's got its evil ways, all right.
Marshal Dillon. Marshal Dillon. Hello, Doc.
Oh, hello, Risling.
What are you going to do about those Texans, Marshal?
Well, I don't know, Mr. Risling. I haven't given it much thought.
Well, you better start thinking, Marshal. I heard that, Jacqueline, right in here this morning. He means what he says, that man.
What did he say?
They're going to destroy Dodge. That's what he said. Him and all those wild Texans he's got.
Mr. Risling, the man I got in jail aims to shoot me from ambush if I turn him loose.
But I can't help that, Marshal.
Well, I can. And he's staying where he is until he comes to his senses.
But what about the rest of us? It's all right for you to save your own skin, but what about us? They'll shoot up the town and maybe burn my hotel down.
No, no, don't get all excited, Mr. Risling. It won't help matters any. Look, why don't you just forget about it? Jacqueline may never show up at all.
Oh, that's what I come to tell you.
What?
Frank Parrish rode by the Dragar camp a little while ago, and he says those men were just about to leave for Dodge. That means they'll be here any minute. Now, what are you going to do?
I left the Yellow Braganza and walked over to the jail to wait for Jacqueline and his mob of cowboys. There, I tried to have a talk with Bulow. But the only response I could get out of him was the same. He was going to kill me the first chance he got. Well, maybe Doc was right. Maybe the hard life of the cattle trail did drive men a little mad. Anyway, it was a poor choice they'd given me. And I didn't like it.
You be wanting a shotgun, won't you, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah. Yeah, thanks, Chester.
Here you are.
Ah. Chester.
Hmm?
You, don't have to get mixed up in this, you know.
I know that. My. I think I'm going to take a shotgun, too.
Okay. All right, let's wait outside.
Yes, sir.
About 10 feet apart, huh?
All right, sir. There they come, Mr. Dillon. All of them.
Yeah.
Here it is, man.
Marshal.
You're acting like a fool, Jacqueline.
We'll see about that.
You make trouble here and the law will be after you wherever you go.
I don't worry none about no law. I was raised plumb free. We all were.
Yeah, sure you were. But that doesn't leave you free to form a mob, raid a jail, shoot up a town. What's the matter with you men?
What's the matter with you? You put an innocent man in jail.
Any man who wants to kill somebody isn't very innocent, Jacqueline. Do you have to wait till he does it?
I don't have to wait for nothing. Marshal, we've come for Bulow.
Let them have him, Marshal. Turn him loose. Hurry.
You keep out of this, Risling.
He's right, Marshal.
You let him go peaceable and we'll leave town. But if you make us fight, we'll go right on fighting.
Now, you heard him. He means it. Now, you do it.
Shut up, Risland. Jacqueline, this is a shotgun I'm holding. The first move you or any of your men make, I'll cut you in two with it.
Maybe. But we're too many. You can't kill us all. You'll die, and so will your friend there. That right, man? Texas men ain't afraid to die, Marshal. But they ain't gonna get tromped on. I'm through talking, Marshal. Get set, man. And when you finish him, go rip this town wide open. Do it for me.
Chester.
Yes, sir?
Go get Bulo.
All right.
Oh, thank heaven.
You used your head, Marshal. You and I had both been dead if you hadn't.
I'm not doing it because of you or me, Jacqueline. I'm doing it because too many other men would have died.
Well, it don't matter, as long as you turn him loose.
Howdy, Texan.
All right, bring him over here, Chester.
Well, I knew you couldn't keep me long, Marshal.
And you were right, Bulo.
You shouldn't have locked me up at all.
Go on back to camp. And try to do some thinking while you're there, huh?
Sure, Marshal. And you know what I'll be thinking about? You. Sitting next to an open window. Or walking down a dark street. I'm gonna kill you yet.
Wherever he was from, whatever kind of life he'd led, Bulo was a primitive man. Somewhere he'd heard about revenge. It's a simple idea, an eye for an eye. And he took it to heart. I realize now that there was no dealing with him. The man was incapable of change. And Jacqueline wasn't much better. But I forgot about Jacqueline. It was Bulo who'd be back. Still, 2 days went by, and there was no sign of him.
There's a couple of chairs, Mr. Dillon. Let's sit there.
All right, Chester.
Well, nobody can't shoot you from here, not unless it comes up in front.
Well, it's unlikely with Bulo.
What's the matter with men like him?
I don't know, Chester. Too rough a life, maybe. The war. A lot of things.
Well, he's plumb crazy, if you ask me. Say, ain't that Miss Kitty coming up the street?
Hmm?
What's she walking so fast for?
Well, I don't know.
Oh, there you are, Matt. Hello, Chester.
Evening, Miss Kitty.
Sit down, Kitty. You wear yourself out being in such a hurry,
Matt,
all this time.
I've been looking for you everywhere.
Oh, trouble?
For you, yeah. Bulo's back in town.
Well, have you seen him?
No, Sam did. Said he stopped in for a drink a little while ago.
Is he still there?
He left, but he told Sam he's got a room at the Dodge House. He might be there.
Well, I'd like to find him before he finds me. At least we could see each other that way.
Be careful, Matt.
You better come along, Chester. Four eyes are better than two.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Kitty.
I'll see you later.
Yeah, sure.
What do you do if we find him, Mr. Dillon?
Well, it's no good talking to him anymore. Maybe I can scare him out of it somehow.
I sure hope so. The hotel looks pretty empty from here.
Evening, Marshal. Chester.
Hello, Mr. Isley.
I'm looking for Bulo. Is he here?
I don't, Martin. He's shooting.
I want to know if he's here, Risley.
He went upstairs a few minutes ago, Marshal.
Which room?
Well, now, Marshal.
On the landing, Mr. Dillon.
I missed him. Come on. He's in one of those rooms.
Here we've got him now.
Yeah, but I don't know which one. You stay here, Chester. I'm going down the hall. He might come out of any one of those doors.
All right, sir.
Is it okay?
Yeah, it's okay, Chester.
He didn't hit you, did he?
No, he tried, but it was too late. He was already dying.
Well, I'm sure glad.
Yeah. But he died about as uselessly as a man could, Chester. For no reason at all. None at all.
Gunsmoke, under the direction of Norman MacDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was especially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in the cast were Vic Perrin, Lawrence Dobkin, Harry Bartell, and John Dana. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kay. Ken Peters speaking. You know, you get more out of life yourself when you help others. So don't miss your greatest opportunity. Help the poor, the sick, the troubled in your community. Pledge enough to the one campaign that helps them all. Give generously to your community chest. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, meets Yorkie Kelly during his fight to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke. Listen next week at this time when Gunsmoke will be brought to you by Post Toasties, the heap good cornflake.
Gunsmoke, on Tuned to Yesterday from October 10th, 1953 on CBS, dramatizing the John Meston story, How to Die for Nothing. The story would be used on the series again about 5 years later and on the Gunsmoke TV version in June of 1956. It's an hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeVanier. And now, movie actor Joel McRae and what's considered to be his main radio vehicle, Tales of the Texas Rangers. This NBC episode from October 11th, 1951, called The Wheelchair Killing.
The National Broadcasting Company presents Joel McRae in Tales of the Texas Rangers. From Hollywood, another authentic reenactment of a case transcribed from the files of the Texas Rangers. Tales of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Jace Pearson. Texas, more than 260,000 square miles. And 50 men who make up the most famous and oldest law enforcement body in North America. The files of the Texas Rangers come these stories based on facts. Names, dates, and places are fictitious for obvious reasons. The events themselves are a matter of record. Case for tonight, Wheelchair Killing.
It is 8:40 p.m. May 1st, several years ago. Colby, Texas, near the edge of the Great Piney Woods, is unusually crowded as several hundred young men from a nearby CCC camp have converged on the town to spend their monthly allowance. In the office of Sheriff Pete Saunders, the sheriff and his deputy are standing by in case any emergency should arise.
I don't know why I'm so groggy, Sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
Not even 9 o'clock.
After that tired rig, I don't think there's any need for you staying any later. I can handle things. Why don't you go home?
With all them young bloods in town?
Oh, they seem to be all right. No sign of any fuss. I walked down Main Street a while ago. They were behaving.
Yeah, just the same. Camp is new. This is the first payday they've had around here. Man can get pretty high with 30 bucks in his pocket.
They don't get the whole 30 rig. They only get 5 of it. Government makes them send the rest home.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Sure, that's the whole idea. Hey, where till I get this? Sheriff's office. Sheriff Saunders speaking.
You'd better go to the old house on Log Hill. You'd better go there right away.
Old man Swain's place?
Yes. Yes, hurry. Go there quickly and bring a doctor.
Why? What's the matter out there? Who is this?
Well, I'm just calling, that's all. You better go right away.
You better give me your name if you'd... Hello? Hello?
Yeah, what's the matter?
She hung up on me. Come on.
Something wrong at old man Swain's place?
Something plenty wrong or somebody's idea of a joke. A mile and a half out to Swain's and he hadn't got a phone.
And that call must have come from someplace else, then.
Yeah. See if you can trace it. Then pick up Macker and Carl and follow me out to Swain's. I'll get the doc on the way.
Finley Swain, a victim of rheumatoid arthritis, was found dead in his dilapidated home, seated in his wheelchair. An inquest was called and an autopsy ordered. He had not died from natural causes. The sheriff called for the help of a Texas Ranger, and Ranger Jace Pearson was assigned, joining the sheriff at the funeral home.
Body's in here, Jace.
Uh-huh. He's a pretty old man.
Pressing 80. Crippled up bad the last 20 years or so. Hadn't been for that phone call, I'd have figured his heart just gave out. Guess the doc would have, too.
Good thing you asked for a coroner's inquest. Let me see the autopsy report.
Yeah, yeah. He died about 8 last night.
Ruptured spleen, concussion.
Doc says he was beaten to death.
Funny. No marks on the body.
No, all the damage was inside. Whatever he was hit with, it didn't leave any marks on him.
Length of rubber hose, maybe. Something like that wouldn't leave a mark. You find anything like that?
Didn't have much chance to look, Jace. Maybe my deputies have run across something. Oh, I left 3 of them out at Swain's last night.
Why 3 of them?
I may need more than that when it gets around that the old man is dead. Place will be loaded with vultures.
What do you mean?
Well, it's kind of a funny thing, Jace. The old man was kind of peculiar, living off by himself in that big old house, not even a cleaning woman to help him. Started some crazy talk a long time back. Rumor got around that he had a lot of money stashed away at his place.
You think there was anything to it?
Nope. Because I know what he was living on. Got a check for $70 every month from some insurance company.
Annuity?
Yeah.
Too bad everybody didn't know that. He was probably killed by somebody trying to force him to tell where he hid the money people think he had.
That could be a motive. On the other hand, might be other reasons for killing him that we didn't know about.
I doubt it, Sheriff. When a man comes into a place to kill with nothing else on his mind, he does it fast. This beating took time. Come on, I want to look at Swain's place. The sheriff was right about the vultures. If his deputies hadn't been on guard, the house would have been a shambles. One of the deputies came inside with us. At the old man's wheelchair?
Yeah, hadn't been moved. That's where we found him sitting.
My lab crew will be coming in from Austin. They can dust the chair for prints while they're going over the place. What's this on the floor?
Where you standing there?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Felt a little crunchy when I walked across it before, like somebody spilled some sugar.
It's not sugar, more like white beach sand.
No beach sand around this country, Jay.
Just the same, that's what it looks like. Lab boys can tell whether it is or not. Right near the old man's chair, too. He get around much? Outside, I mean?
Best of my knowledge, he'd never wheel himself further than the front porch to get the sun.
How'd he get his food in?
Reg can tell you that.
We used to sit on the porch and flag down a passing car or truck, ask him to pick up things for him at the market. I stopped by often to get him things. Had a red flannel shirt he'd wave. Spotted easy from the road.
Let's look through the rest of the place. Hey, wait a minute.
What is it, Jay?
A few more grains of sand on the floor here. More of it right on into the kitchen. Let's go out back.
There's nothing here, Jace. Just a stump field all the way back to them hills.
Somebody's been out here, though. Look. Part of a shoe mark on the ground. You barely see the outline. The toe dug in deepest. Man must have been running.
Only one thing wrong about the whole setup, Jace. That phone call I got was from a girl.
It doesn't register as the kind of a killing that'd be done by a woman. Besides, a murderer doesn't usually call in a report. Too bad you couldn't find out who made it.
Well, at least we know it came from a payphone in the lobby of the Colby House. Desk clerk didn't notice anybody, though.
I see. Let's spread out a little, see if we can cut across any more tracks like this one. Reg, you move off to my right about 5 paces.
Right, Jase.
I'll fan out on this side.
Good. Now let's move.
Right.
I'm getting some light tracks over here, but the ground's too hard. They're not very clear.
Well, you must be on the right trail. There's nothing at all over this way.
Yeah, I'm going to blank too. Grant, hold it.
Hold it.
You find something, Rag?
Yeah. Yeah, you better come here.
What is it?
Man's sock.
It's more than just a sock. Knotted at the middle and heavy at the toe. It's full of sand.
So that's where those grains of sand come from.
That killer must have thrown that away while he was running, Jase.
Yeah. Here's a murder weapon, Sheriff. Now all we got to do is find the person who used it. The trail behind Swain's house petered out past the stump field, and we lost all trace a mile into the thick foliage of the piney woods. I sent the sock full of sand through to the Austin lab for examination. Meanwhile, a lab crew met me at the Colby funeral home and went over Swain's body.
That sock must have been the weapon, all right, Jase. Look, just combed a few grains of the sand out of the old man's hair. A little more embedded in the scalp.
The impact of the blows must have forced some of it through the sock weave.
Must have. That's why you found traces of it on the floor.
How are you making out there?
Don't know much yet, Sheriff. You check with the other lab men out at Swain's?
Yeah. Usual jumble of smeared prints.
That may be a report from Austin. I'll get it.
Hello? Yeah, speaking.
I've had Reg checking on that sand, Jase. No firm in the area handles that grade.
That's funny.
Right.
Isn't likely the killer came from far off.
Why not?
Well, talk about the old man's having money stashed away is sort of a local rumor.
I'll tell him. Andy and Austin with a report from that sock. There an army camp around here anyplace?
No,
That sock is army issue.
Oh, wait a minute. There's a new CCC camp up in the Piney Woods, Jase, about 9 miles from here.
Hey, they're civilian, but they get their clothes from army issue. Camps are run by army officers.
More than 100 men up there.
Yeah, and a good chance that one of them is the boy we're looking for. That rumor about Swain having money has been around for a long time. If somebody from the town was going to do him in, they'd have done it before this. Come on, Sheriff. Let's drive up to that camp.
All right. It'd be better if we could borrow a truck from someplace.
Why a truck?
Old Logger's Road is the only one to the camp. High centers. Kind of rough on a passenger car. Especially one towing a horse trailer like yours.
Well, I got charcoal in my trailer. Can't we cut straight through the woods on horses?
It's a good idea. Save us time and a couple of miles.
You got a horse at your place?
Yeah, it's on the way.
All right, I'll drive you out. Start from there. Got the sheriff's horse. I unloaded charcoal from the trailer and we headed into the piney woods. As we drew near to the camp, we caught glimpses of men working in squads of 4 or 5 and finally ran across one man alone and mounted.
Fellow on horseback ahead there, Jase. Can you see him?
Yeah. He looks like a straw boss.
Moving into a clearing now. Hold there!
Hello!
He's waiting for us. Come on, boys.
Yeah, Charlie.
He must be one of them fellas from the agricultural college. I understand they got 4 of them supervising.
Have to have somebody who knows the woods. Most of the other camp boys are in the big cities.
Yeah.
You fellas looking for the camp?
Easy, boy, easy.
Yeah, that's right.
It's about 3/4 of a mile off that way. You'll see the tents when you get over that rise.
Who are you?
Oh, my name's Joe Roberts, section leader.
My name's Pearson. This is Sheriff Saunders.
Oh, howdy, Sheriff.
Hello.
You out here about something connected with that murder in town?
How'd you know about that? Wasn't around town till this morning, and you're quite a ways off.
Well, Major Beck told me about it when the truck brought him out from town this morning.
Oh, the Major was in town all night?
Yeah. He doesn't live at the camp. He just comes out days. No place out here for his wife and daughter.
Wife and daughter, huh?
Anybody else out here have women folk in town?
No. Why?
I'm just curious. You know where the Major and his family are living in town?
Well, sure. At the hotel. Colby House.
That's where that phone call came from, Jase.
Yeah, I know. Thanks a lot, Robert. So long.
Sure.
Better have a little talk with the Major.
You can say that again.
Come on. Come on, Charlie. Come on.
it's the Silver Jubilee on NBC. Every Friday evening, there's another stirring adventure series for Western fans on this station. Yes, every Friday, NBC brings you the King of the Cowboys, Roy Rogers, with the Queen of the West, Dale Evans. Make your date for thrilling listening with the Roy Rogers Show every Friday evening at this same spot on your dial. There's action and adventure in Paradise Valley when Roy Rogers rides the airwaves, and there's also a song or two by these wonderful Western entertainers, Roy and Dale. Be sure to hear them Friday.
Major Beck was regular Army, in his early 50s, over age and rank, a gray, embittered man. His office was a field tent at the head of the company street.
So, you think that old man was killed by somebody from this camp?
We've got reason to think so.
Because of a sock. Socks like that have been general issue since 1917. I don't like any accusations against my command, especially accusations based on such flimsy evidence.
There's something else beside the sock, Major. I notice your company's street between the tents is paved with gravel.
Yeah, what about it?
Is that gravel bedded in beach sand?
You can see it around the borders, can't you?
Sure, we can see it. It's the same kind of sand we found in that sock that Swain was beaten with.
There's no beach sand anyplace else in this area, Major. Where'd this come from?
How do I know? An advanced cadre of engineers set the camp up. Suppose the sand was trucked in with other material. All right. Everything you've found points to this camp. I should have expected something like this.
What do you mean by that?
Oh, what would I mean, Ranger? What can you expect from sidewalk bums?
Bums don't work, Major. And the crews we pass seem to be working pretty hard.
I have to spend my time with them. You don't.
What time do your men come in from the woods?
4 o'clock.
All the clothing they have issued through your own supply?
Yes. All listed and signed for.
Good. They couldn't have lost much in a month. At 4 o'clock, I'd like you to call for an inspection of equipment. See if we can find somebody who's missing a sock. All sorts of equipment was missing. Shirts, extra shoes, mess kits. But there was only one man who couldn't account for a pair of socks.
All right, Rendazzo. In the tent.
All right, all right. Look, Major, what kind of crime is it to lose a sock? There's a shortage on them or something?
The ranger and sheriff will tell you.
I thought you ranger guys was just something they made up for the movies.
We've been around since long before there were any movies, Rendazzo.
Okay, so you're a cowboy detective. So find out who stole my socks.
Don't be funny, young fellow.
Look, mister, I ain't trying to be funny, but what are you all jumping on me, huh? I wash my socks, I hang them up to dry, and one of these dewdrops puts his hooks on them. That makes it a federal case?
Randazzo, a sock belonging to somebody in this camp was used to kill an old man. It was filled with sand from the company street and used as a blackjack.
Hey, you mean that's how they knocked off that old nickel pincher on Log Hill?
Well, you know about that.
The whole camp knows about it. What are you looking at me? The guy that picked some age up told us about it when he brought the truck back this morning.
Were you in town last night?
We was all in town last night. We got paid yesterday. The major let us go in on the trucks.
What time did you come back to camp?
When everybody else come back. Trucks picked all of us up again at midnight. Same place they dumped us out of Main Street, by the corner near that hotel.
The Colby House?
That's the only one, ain't it?
What'd you do while you were in town?
Up to 9 o'clock.
I was having a hamburger in that place next to the bus depot. I was there from 8 till 10.
You must be a slow eater. It's a long time for one hamburger.
Who cared about the hamburger? I was trying to pick up the blonde behind the counter. She keeps giving me the smile with all her teeth bit. I asked her what time she gets off. She tells me 10 o'clock. So what happens? 5 minutes to 10, she got a boyfriend comes to meet her. A guy 8 foot tall.
You know the girl he's talking about, Sheriff?
Yeah, Lucille Mason. Must have been her husband met her.
Her husband? How do you like that?
Could she have been the one who made the phone call you got, Sheriff?
Not a chance. The girl that called was a lot younger.
I don't think you have any right to hold this man till you've checked on his story.
We're not holding anybody, Major, until we've checked on a lot of things. All right, Randazzo, you can go. But don't leave this camp except with your work crew.
Leave this camp, he says. From now on, I ain't even gonna leave my tent. I should have never left Brooklyn.
Major, that goes for everybody out here. Don't let them use the trucks. Keep them in camp. You better stay here to make sure.
My wife and daughter are in town.
Well, I can't stop you from going home. But if you do, the sheriff will have to send deputies out here to keep the men confined to the camp area.
I don't want civil authorities here. I'll stay.
Thanks. Come on, Sheriff. Let's get back to town.
You know, Jace, I kind of got an idea.
So have I. A girl's voice, young, not from around here.
And the major's daughter staying at the Colby House. I think he knows more than he's telling. Acts kind of funny.
No, he's all right. Probably a pretty good man.
Mm-mm. He hates his men.
Because they're not what he's used to. But give him credit for one thing. He doesn't want any of them involved in this. If he had the authority to do it, he'd probably take that Randazzo and hang him to the highest tree. But when he thought we might take the man in, he went to bat for him.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Hey, there's that fellow Roberts we met riding in, the section leader.
Yeah, giving our horses water. Good for him.
Your horses are kind of thirsty.
Yeah, thanks for taking care of him, Roberts.
That's all right. Say, how'd you make out with Randazzo?
He seems to be all right.
Hey, most of them are. Major Beck doesn't like him, though.
Well, that's his privilege.
I guess he'd rather have some young army officers around so he could sort of hand-pick a son-in-law. His gal's pretty.
She associate with any of the fellows here?
Well, when the camp first opened, a fellow named O'Brien, a good-looking kid, better education than most of the others, he used to drive the major back and forth from town. Then, all of a sudden, he got somebody else. Put O'Brien on mess hall detail. Took him off the trucks altogether.
You know if O'Brien was seeing the girl?
Nobody. Could have met her pretty often that first 2 weeks picking up the major. Well, the truck drivers get into town almost every day hauling supplies and things.
Uh-huh. Well, thanks a lot, Roberts. Horses look like they had enough, Sheriff.
Yeah. Come on, boy. So long, Roberts.
So long.
So long.
Get up, Charlie. Come on, boy. Come on. Well, Jace, what's our next move?
Ride out of here to my car and then drive back to town. We're going to do Major Beck a favor.
What kind of a favor?
Just tell his daughter he won't be in town tonight. Let's see if you can recognize her voice. At the Colby house, we got a break. The major's wife wasn't in, but the daughter answered when we knocked at the door of her room.
Who is it? Is that you, Mother?
Sounds like the voice, Jess.
Good. I got a message from your father, miss.
Oh, just a minute.
That's the voice, all right.
What's the matter, miss? Sheriff and I can't look bad enough to make you go pale like that.
I thought when you said you had a message, it would be somebody my father sent from camp. What did he want you to tell me?
Just that he won't be in town tonight. You mind if we come in, miss? We'd like to talk to you.
Well, I have a lot to do, and I...
We only want to know where you were between, say, 7 and 9 o'clock last night.
We know that you were in the phone booth in the lobby at 8:40 because that's where you called my office from.
Please don't talk in the hall. Come in.
Were you out at old man Swain's house last night?
Yes. Yes, I walked out there just before 8 o'clock.
What for?
To meet somebody.
Somebody named O'Brien?
Well, he didn't have anything to do with it. Johnny liked the old man.
How'd you and your boyfriend come to pick Swain's place for your meetings?
Because my father or somebody might have seen us if we met in town.
How'd this Johnny get to know a crippled old man who never left his house?
When he was driving one of the cab trucks, Mr. Swain waved to him from the porch one day. Johnny saw he was in a wheelchair and he stopped to see what was wrong. The old man wanted some things from town, and after that, they got to be friends.
It fits, Sheriff. Your deputy said Swain had flagged down a car or truck when he needed anything. All right, miss. Now, what about that meeting last night?
Johnny got a lift from camp on the last truck in. After the early trucks came in, I started to walk out to Swain's, like I always did, so that Johnny could catch up to me on the way. On the road out of town, where nobody would see us walking together.
Did he catch up to you before you reached Swain's?
Yes. And then when we got there and went in, we saw that the old man was slumped over in his chair. He raised his head just once and said something about not wanting to be hit again. And then he almost fell, but Johnny set him back in the chair. And then we couldn't get him to move again, and we got frightened, and since there was no phone, we came back to town.
You both left the house together, by the front door.
Yes. And then when we got back near town, we split up. I came back here to the hotel and called from the lobby. Well, we weren't even sure he was dead until we heard it was murder.
I reckon you're going to have to come along with us. We'll send somebody out to get O'Brien.
No, just a minute, Sheriff. Miss,
yes.
Where does Johnny O'Brien come from, his home?
Boston.
City boy all his life?
Yes. Oh, now my father's going to find out we're married.
Married?
Yes, we were married last week.
Your father's going to find out, all right. But not from us, from you. I think you better tell him. Come on, Sheriff.
We're just going to leave her?
For now. Come on.
Jase, I know she sounded like she was telling the truth.
She was telling the truth.
You know anything to back that up?
A few things. Whoever killed the old man bolted out the back door. One person running.
Yeah?
They found the old man conscious, still alive.
So she says.
And it fits. If the old man had died after the beating with no disturbance, the killer had spent some time looking for hidden money. He'd have moved things, left dust rings. He didn't because he had to run.
That brings us back to the fellow with the missing socks, Randazzo.
Yeah, he's not the one either. We're going back to the camp and talk to the men who drove those trucks in last night. We want the man who came into town on a truck and went back on foot. What we need is a missing passenger on the return trip.
If there was a missing passenger.
We followed somebody's trail all the way across Log Hill and into the Piney Woods. Whoever it was kept going. They wouldn't have gone that deep if they were going to cut back to the road.
Okay. I guess somebody who'd been scared off like that would head for the camp instead of the town. Sure gives us a big bunch of suspects, though.
No, it doesn't, Sheriff. What chance would a man from the city streets have if he tried to make his way to a camp 9 miles deep in the Piney Woods? Especially on foot and at night, with no path to follow. It'd take somebody who'd spend his life in open country.
Only men who fill that bill are the camp section leaders.
Yeah, and the truck drivers will be able to account for them. Out of the camp, the section leaders are bosses, and nobody forgets seeing a boss. It was 2 a.m. when we reached the camp and woke the major. He led us to the truck driver's tent. One of the drivers had the answer we were looking for. He'd hauled section leader Roberts into town Saturday night, but Roberts hadn't ridden back with him. We left the tent.
Roberts sleeps in the last tent, the end of this line.
Alone?
Yes. As a section leader, he has a private tent.
Hold it a minute. Where does Randazzo sleep? The fellow was missing the sock.
Let me see. That tent right there.
Let's wake him up first.
What do you want Randazzo for, Jase? He's clear.
I know it. But I want him to help us with something. We haven't got enough to make a case against Robert Stick.
What's your plan? I'll
tell you as soon as I get Randazzo out here. You know which bed he's in, Major?
Yes, first bed to the right as you go in the tent.
Wait till I get him. Randazzo. Randazzo. Get up and come outside. Don't wake anybody.
I can't come out without my pants.
All right, slip into them.
All right. Look, I'm being pinched, am I?
No, we'll be able to make an arrest in a minute with your help.
You mean you know the rat that put his hooks on that sock I was missing?
That's right.
Oh, just laid me to him. I'll feed him a mouthful of knuckles.
Never mind that. Just do as I say. You ready?
Yeah.
Now, listen carefully. Here's what you do. I gave Randazzo the plan, and we went over with him to Robert's tent, ready to jump in if the plan worked.
This is the tent.
All right, Randazzo. We'll be right out here.
No, you just leave that crumb to me.
I hope he plays it right, Jay.
Shh. Hey, Roberts. Wake up, you crumb.
What? Who is it? Who's in here?
It's me, Randazzo.
What are you doing in here?
I come to talk with you.
At this time of the night, get out of here. Get back to your tent.
Listen to me, you doodrop. You'll talk to me right now, or I'll go to town tomorrow and talk to the ranger.
What do you mean?
You know what I mean, you crumb. That sock was stolen from me. I saw you take it.
Keep your voice down. What? Why would I take anything from you?
That's what I wanted when I saw you. That's why I didn't say nothing. Then I found out, all right. Well, you crumb. If I couldn't have told him where I was when the old man was knocked over, I'd have been a pigeon.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Don't worry. I can keep quiet. I keep real quiet. All it's going to cost you is $100.
I haven't got $100.
Oh, you're kidding. That old guy had money hidden all over the joint. Everybody knew that.
But I didn't get it. I'll kill you, Randazzo. You open your mouth about me and I'll beat your brains out. You're ready.
Get away, through you.
Chief, we better get it.
Yeah, come on. All right, Roberts. Let him go.
Grab him, Ranger. He killed that old man. He just told me.
We heard what he told you. Try these trusts for size.
He's lying about those socks. I never had
You better shut up until you get a lawyer. You all right, Randazzo?
Yeah. Yeah, sure. I'd have flattened him if you hadn't come in.
Claiming Roberts is a prisoner, Major. Any objection?
What objection can I have? He's not military personnel. You're the law here.
Thanks.
I didn't mean to hurt the old fool.
If he'd only told me where the money was, I'd never...
There wasn't any money, Roberts. The old man never had a dime.
But everybody said that
you
he
can
was...
save your story for your cellmates at Huntsville, Roberts. Get your clothes on. Let's go.
Harlan Roberts made a full confession to the brutal murder of aged and crippled Finley Swain. And the following year, he was sentenced to Huntsville Penitentiary for the rest of his life.
Next week, Joel McRae in another authentic reenactment of a case from the files of the Texas Rangers. Joel McRae is currently seen starring in the Universal International Technicolor production, Cattle Drive. The cast included Tony Barrett, Bill Johnstone, Tom Tully, Mike Barrett, Frank Gerstle, and Tom McKee. Technical advisor was Captain M.T. Lone Wolf Gonzalez of the Texas Rangers. This story was transcribed and adapted by Joel Murcott, and the program was produced and directed by Stacy Keith. Hal Gibney speaking.
Tales of the Texas Rangers on Tuned to Yesterday, an NBC broadcast of mostly true crime from October 11th, 1951. And that brings to a close this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. It's been a pleasure.